Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, let's bring in our buddy Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville. Vinny, how was your fourth?
It was good. Pretty quiet, flexible, just my dog, hot dogs, and just catching up on stuff. So it was good. Hope you guys had a great one.
Yeah, it's hell for dogs. Let's just call it what it is. I've never heard anybody that says, my dog just can't wait for July 4th. Nobody's dog, right? They hate it. So,
right.
Did you do anything fun over the weekend?
Well, fun to me is being productive and crossing out or highlighting things on my printed out to-do list, both personally and for work. And I'm getting ready to take some time off. Plus there's media day. So there's a bunch of stuff that I got to knock out. So I did chop through some of that stuff. That's enjoyable to me, but I did get some sun, some pool time, a little bit, but, you know, nothing to brag about. But, yeah, it was good.
You know, also, something came up on the timeline, right? A little friendship for us, Facebook, the pictures.
Yeah.
I don't think we've changed. I don't think we've changed a bit, man. Kudos to us.
No. You know, a couple 2-3 pounds here, a couple 2-3 pounds the other way. No matter the setting, whether it's sidelines at Nissan Stadium, I don't think it was called Nissan Stadium at the time, when Tennessee and North Carolina were playing in a bowl game or at a Preds game or just visiting you guys or Smoky Stadium, wherever we've been, we've had a great time, media days. That was cool that popped up on the old memory Facebook memory timeline this week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. What did you make of? Let's start with, I'm in St. Louis and I see, and I think, you know, maybe I was like, gosh, maybe the heat's getting to me. Maybe I've been in the sun all day at these baseball tournaments. I could have sworn I just saw, you know, walking through the lobby of the hotel, USC, UCLA. What did I just see that wrong? And obviously, I know I didn't see that wrong. What do you make of that? That blew me away.
Well, at first, yes, it is shocking because it doesn't make geographical sense. It's just not something that you expect or we're trained as sports fans with divisions and geography and things like that. For that to be a move that makes any sense, even if stuff like that has been rumored, maybe that those schools, but cross country type of stuff, like the last wave of realignment, people were like, well, you know, what about going and getting USC to the SEC or just different things that were crazy at the time. But when it actually happened, honestly, the first time that I saw that John Wilner tweet about it, I'm like, I'm not reacting to this for a while.
Smart move. Fake account. This can't be real, right?
Yes. It's kind of like with, and I've been through many of crazy job searches too that you know of, Darren, and you don't jump on every little story that somebody's putting out about a job search, you know, or coaching search, stuff like that. So, in college athletics, especially. So I took a wait and see on it and it played out that way. I don't like it, but it's the direction we're going and it's all about the money. And look, those schools are potentially could at least double, maybe triple what they make in millions annually. But then don't come to me and talk to me about what's best for the student athlete. Now you can talk about, yeah, we'll help with their travel, with getting charter planes and more resources and all that stuff. But I'm not convinced that on the field, it's going to result, at least short term, to any different results. They've had everything they needed there in the Pac-12. Granted, the league hasn't been its best, and that the results haven't been great there. So now you're going to make it more difficult for them, have gauntlet schedules and cross the country every other week. I think that's tough, but we're going towards the two mega conferences as opposed to, you know, four super leagues like we talked about. So it's the way it's going, and that was kind of the big reaction to Texas and Oklahoma last year.
So do you think when Oklahoma and Texas move into the SEC, is that going to be it? Do you think USC, UCLA moving to the Big Ten, is that it? Or do you think they're just going to keep adding? I mean, what do you – do you think the SEC's done, or they're going to still – I mean, you hear Notre Dame stuff. Like, is that it, or how do you think this is going to play out?
I don't think they're done, and not just the SEC, but with the Big Ten. Saw a story just a little while ago that the Pac-12 is working towards bringing in six members in their expansion. I don't think there's any way to avoid it. Even though the Big Ten is allegedly denying it, but I don't know how you can leave USC and UCLA there alone as West Coast teams without trying to bring in a Oregon or a Washington or dipping into trying to pull from another league. The thing that I don't know about, I think, is the biggest wild card in all this when we're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC continuing to expand, or the Fox Conference and the ESPN Conference, because let's be real, they're behind a lot of this with their power, because everything is about TV, which also equals money, and that's what's driving a lot of this. But I think the ACC's grant of rights on their current TV deal goes into the mid-2030s. That's a long time, where it is so incredibly expensive for any of those SEC schools to get out. Notre Dame can play this out to where, yeah, they have a relationship with the ACC, but if they join a conference of football, it's supposed to be only with them, but then, you know, the two major conferences are going to bid for their services. Can you go get the schools that make the most sense for the SEC, like the Clemsons, the Florida States, the Miamis, the North Carolina? So that's where kind of the tricky part of it for the SEC's expansion is, those schools more so are in the ACC. Can they get out? Is it too expensive? That's the part that I'm not sure about, and that's the part I think a lot of people are kind of missing out on, in how quickly those dominoes can fall, especially for the SEC. And could it leave the SEC behind, where the Big Ten is able to go get other schools? They can continue to expand because they're maybe not tapping into the ACC as much. I bet they'd want North Carolina and Virginia and a few others. But that more would impact the SEC. So maybe the Big Ten separates from the SEC in their growth. Who knows?
You know, there was a time when Nebraska leaving, everybody thought the Big 12 was dead. And
right.
It's not dead, but – you know, there's been a lot of shifting around. With that being said, about UC, what's the Pac-12? What's their status? What is it going to look like? What does this mean for them?
I think it's a race for who poaches who.
Right.
Whether it's does the Big 12 poach the Pac-12, or does the Pac-12 poach the Big 12? I mean, if they're really forward thinking, they, you know, maybe merging, if they know this is where it's going to go anyway, that maybe them merging would give them at least a little bit of a chance of survival. Long term, they're still going to be way behind, especially because they've already lost USC and UCLA. But, you know, I'm sorry, if the Pac-12 just adds some Mountain West Conference teams or lower level Big 12 teams, that's not going to help them with their upcoming TV deal. And everybody's trying to posture and position, and their TV deal comes up quicker than the others. I think it's going to be tough for them unless they were to come to some sort of agreement and bond. But we'll see. It seems like everybody's kind of doing their own thing. So much for that alliance, right? That didn't really help out little brother in the Pac-12.
No, it did not. All right, we'll get into Vols stuff. There's a lot of news on that front when we come back on the other side. Can you hang with us? for a couple minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll come back. More Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game on The Game Nashville app. More with Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal here on the DC. He joins us normally on Mondays, but, of course, yesterday being the 4th. Joining us today, Josh Heupel getting some good news over the weekend. I guess three more commits?
Yeah, two in the 2023 class, the upcoming class, and then a five-star in the 2024 class. Really big get. And athlete Jonathan Nichols, who's from IMG Academy, who isn't from IMG Academy seemingly these days? There's so many between basketball and football. Seems like they're just kids continue to transfer there and then end up being big prospects. So that they're pulling from high school ranks to get those kind of kids and then them getting the exposure they do, not going to change anytime soon. But Jonathan Echols, five-star tight end slash edge pass rusher, he's a phenomenal athlete from there at IMG Academy. So he gives them their biggest get since Nico Iamaliava, the quarterback, a guy that was connected to Nico, was offensive lineman Francis Maigoa, also from IMG Academy, and Bradenton Echols, his teammate. He picked Miami over Tennessee. So that was a big miss for Tennessee. He's an offensive lineman. It's a huge need position. And he's a guy you could have immediately pointed back to Nico in terms of his benefit in the class. They also picked up a three-star defensive back in Christian Conyer. He's a guy from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Again, three-star, picked Tennessee over Kentucky, but man, that one hurt Kentucky, and they had a reaction. One of their assistant coaches was reacting to it on Twitter, and one that Kentucky really needed. So that was a big head-to-head win, and he's got a really good offer list also. And then defensive lineman and Tyree Weathersby from Douglasville, Georgia, picked Tennessee over Kentucky, Mississippi State, South Carolina. So a number of SEC schools. But I mentioned this last week. Some of the three stars they've been getting have pretty good offer list and maybe better than what you would normally think for a three star. So those recruiting rankings may change. They didn't get a big boost from this latest haul, but most notably it was missing Maigoa, because now the two guys you could most recently point to Nico are five stars in Carnell Tate and Francis. And those guys consider Tennessee, but they haven't been able to land them yet. They're five stars in the 2024 class. So that relationship maybe will pay dividends down the road. It was still a very active, good weekend for Tennessee.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, sports animal over in Knoxville. Vince, I was reading a very interesting article on The Athletic about the NIL, and they had some anonymous football recruiters from various conferences. I hesitate to use the term Power Five because I feel like the way things are moving, what we say Power Five isn't going to be accurate anymore. It's going to be a term of the past. But yeah. There was a SEC recruiting coordinator. You know, it had to do a lot of how quickly NIL has taken shape and people are thinking along these lines. It's almost like doing a salary cap. You know, philosophical questions like, are you going to try to pay your whole roster a certain amount? And then your star players get paid on top of that. How much do you try to allocate towards the quarterback or defensive ends, pass rushers, offensive tackles? And one guy said, this was an SEC recruiting coordinator. He said, how would you go about it? He starts with this. So I'm assuming this guy is not a Tennessee person. Tennessee is paying a kid $8 million before he takes a snap. And I'm guessing he is referring to Nico there. That's where we're at. So there are a couple ways to look at it. You can get a lot of really good players that maybe don't cost a heck of a lot but still build a good roster, or you think on the front end and pay your current players who are playing well to help you build future rosters and help set up for more collective money for everyone. I'd probably go for the collective idea more than going after individual players. Here's one of the things that people don't think about. So Tennessee is paying this kid $8 million. All right. Well, what if he gets hurt? What if he's not as good as everybody thinks? Well, the people who just gave millions of dollars to a kid who ended up not being good, I won't use the term on the air that he actually says here, but Section 303 says it a lot for Predator fans, will probably be really ticked off and less likely to help out in the future. So I guess where I'm going with this, Vince, it's so fast. It's like warp speed we've gotten to this, where we're actually talking about that kind of money and how to go about it, right? And there was nobody that hit the brakes. How real do you think that money is? For like $8 million for a quarterback, they're talking about, hey, what if we had $10 million or $15 million for our team to allocate? It's different for different schools. But is that really real money?
Well, there's so many different layers to this, Willie. It's a great question and conversation. I'll try to give it as much as I can real quick. Spire Sports, who is maybe the most well-known collective in all of college athletics.
They were kind of out in front of it, right? Is that fair to say? Right. They were kind of they were moving on it before a lot of people were.
Absolutely. And they were open about it because it did a story with The Athletic that drew them a lot of attention. And then they kind of backed off in talking about a lot of this. But now they've put out on social media recently that in the past year, because we just got to the one-year point of NIL, that they have gotten $3.6 million in deals to, I think it was 129 student-athletes, which is about 126 student-athletes, which is about $29,000 per. That's the average. Well, but if you're counting that big chunk towards NICO, then that's a much smaller pie you're dividing amongst the other 125 or so. So it is different. And I've talked to some Tennessee athletes about NIL, and some of them, I think I've mentioned to you, some of them are like, really not doing much. And then others are like, yeah, we get to do some cool stuff. But it's not life-changing money. That's where I think it's tough, and that's where it raises red flags, because to the NCAA and then other coaches, when they don't get the players, it's okay when they do. But then it raises a red flag that's being used in recruiting. So that's where you have to watch. And then, like, the deal for the kid in Miami, that this agent was bragging about $9.5 million and he could have got more and all that kind of stuff. That stuff, when you're so open about it, makes me wonder that if that money is real or you're just using it to try to get better deals down the road and it's just a negotiating tool. So I do think there's an element of all the above, some fabrication, some unfortunately going to too few players and not enough to everybody else. And also it's a moving target, because I think it's going to continue to change and evolve, especially if the NCAA does try to get involved. And as people find new ways around the current setup that they have, that everybody's trying to work around.
Boy, that's a great answer. And I think you've sort of laid out some of the challenges here, because if you just have the perception that, hey, this quarterback's coming here and he's getting X million or this big paycheck, it can be used as a tool to attract other recruits. I think you've said this before. When NICO committed, others were like, hey, man, this is where I need to be going. But $8 million, like, how would the practicality of that work? I don't know if the collective has actually talked about that, but this kid's got a whole nother year of high school, right? He's got a whole nother season. When does he actually see the money, or could that firm actually pay him now?
Well, he is from a state where high school players can get NIL deals in California.
Okay.
So whether it's him or the quarterback, Rashada, that committed to Miami, that his agent talked about the $9.5 million, I think those guys can start getting that earlier. Now, and I want to point out, too, no one's ever publicly said for sure. The Athletic laid out things that all the arrows point to NICO, but they've never confirmed that. It's just kind of everyone thinks it's that, because by process of elimination, it's the only thing that it can be based on the article The Athletic did and all those parameters set, but no one will come out and say it. That's another thing, is people handle it differently. Sometimes they don't want to put the pressure on the kid, because then the expectations are there. I think the expectations are there even without, but I think it's different. Again, that's where what's crazy about this is the rules are different for everybody. Whereas others, they may come to an agreement, but it's maybe once it's for things once they get on campus and they're officially here. And that's what's frustrating. Is it different for everybody in every situation and every school?
Would you worry? And Nick Saban brought this up in whatever that talk was that got Jimbo Fisher all fired up and started the war, right? He brought up this very thing that the guy in the Athletic just talked about with using the example of Nico, although he didn't name Nico by name. But it could go for a lot of different schools, a lot of different people. Kid gets promised a large amount of money. It could absolutely, it's going to happen to some quarterbacks. You can only play one quarterback. If that quarterback doesn't win the job or gets hurt, you could have a big problem on your hands.
There are a lot of things that it could kick into effect. There is that. Then, you know, where is the pressure coming from in, hey, now we've invested this in a kid. Do you start pressuring the head coach? Does the head coach have the power to say, get off my back? You know, we know boosters are involved a lot. And if money is coming, if the collectives are funded by boosters, and then the boosters are going to feel like they have a say in things, and then there's the extra pressure on kids. And I've said this from the jump, that's what's going to be unfortunate, is, and maybe why some of them don't want to make it public, is now the fans, they have more to get upset about with the schools and the players. Everybody's ready to just blow up and get unhinged on social media as it is. Now they have more things to get mad about. Well, we didn't pay enough to this player, or, you know, the school didn't do enough, and the kid's a bust. And it's just, it adds even more things for everybody to complain about if things don't work out. Oh, by the way, Tennessee is not the only school. This is why maybe it hasn't paid off with the five stars yet like fans hoped. Tennessee is not the only school that is doing well with NIL and they're putting out money. A lot of schools are that are on the same level. So guess what? It may end up being the deals and the opportunities are similar. And so it may come back to the reason why they were choosing a school in the first place, unless they're just counting specific dollars and doing it that way. But yes, it adds extra pressure, and it makes it harder on the coaches. Everything right now makes it harder on the coaches and their personnel decisions based on when you have one guy connected to so much in NIL money. But you gotta hit on that before they ever get on campus and try to nip that in the bud best you can and have the right kind of kid to where it won't be an issue. If not, then yeah, you're going to have more problems.
So many questions, so many important decisions that we made with this. And at the top in the first segment, we talked about with the conferences, where's everybody going to be playing? Pretty crazy stuff going on right now. Vince, as always, excellent stuff. We'll talk to you again next week.
I appreciate it. It was great to be on with you guys.
All right. Vince Ferrara, the sports animal in Knoxville, his weekly chat with us talking about the University of Tennessee. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Hey, you could join us here at 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And, of course, Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee. We've teamed up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding areas. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids. But we can't do it without you, so please help however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. Thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Thegamenashville.com/shoes. Shoes. Newton Motor Group is a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Back here on the DDC, by the way, all the people that have been asking, and whether it's on our text line or tweeting at us or calling in, Max, the stream seems to be up and working again. So we appreciate everybody's concern. You were trying to listen, and we certainly appreciate that, and it seems like I know they've been working hard behind the scenes to get that fixed, and I think we're being told everything is fixed. We will have some Third Eye Blind tickets that have been thrown into the hopper at First Bank Amphitheater. That'll be coming up at the end of the month. We'll give away a couple pairs of that before we get out of here. So keep that in mind. Viking Matt on our text line says, does that mean, in going with our discussion with Vince, does that mean the Pac-12 is going to start rating teams? Does that mean they're looking at, you know, Utah State, Colorado State, UNLV, Boise State? You know, what does that mean? So how does this work? Because you're right. It doesn't seem like a good idea to say the Power 5 anymore because
it's the Power 2.
Yeah,
it's,
right
it's,
now.
It's going to be something right new. A lot of people are saying AFC, NFC.
Yep.
Big
I've
Ten, SEC. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a brand new classification. I would not be surprised. As for the Pac-12, the news today, they are beginning negotiations for their next media rights agreements with the best of the rest. I guess they're trying to do this, get something locked in even before USC and UCLA will leave the conference. So they were kind of left high and dry. They did not see it coming. They were blindsided, and they're scrambling right now to try to figure it out. Does the expansion option look like a good option to you, Darren? I don't know that they can strengthen themselves. They can certainly have more teams, but would it really strengthen the league and give them any more weight in this next media deal, which is massive for them? You're trying to come up with what you can, but no matter what, it will not be anything close to what the Big Ten and the SEC are going to get revenue-wise. They're going to lap the field of the other three leagues. The ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 will be very secondary in terms of the rights. So it doesn't mean, at least in the short term, that they couldn't still win a national championship. They're just gonna not. They just won't have the sources of revenue that the teams in the other two leagues are going to have.
Well, they were already behind. I mean, let's just call it what it was. They were already behind to begin with. I mean, the SEC and the Big Ten have been divvying out the most money, you know, for years. So that really hasn't changed because of their network and what they command. And so they've been, I guess, the richest of the rich already. Now you're talking about adding Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC, USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. I mean, it's just going to make the rich richer, right? So that was already going on. Now you add four gigantic schools. In the case of USC and UCLA, a gigantic market. But obviously Oklahoma and Texas, we know the passion behind them, and their fan bases are enormous and very passionate fan base. That, you know, it's just strengthening what were already the two conferences that had the most money, that were the most powerful already to begin with. So what does that mean moving forward? Are they done? Do you agree with Vince? He doesn't believe they're done. You think they're just going to keep adding?
Yes. I think there's a lot of speculation that
then
the SEC
next?
And the Big 12 will continue to try to pluck the best of the rest, and it's all revolving around football. Because the Big 12 is probably sitting there in basketball going, well, we still have Baylor, we still have Kansas. We had the last couple of champions. You have Texas Tech. You know, you still got a really powerful league there, at least you have. So football drives all of this. So there are some that are even saying that, why don't we just do one thing for football and then let's make other leagues that make more sense in the traditional way, geographically, rivalries and stuff like that. I don't know where all this is going, because right now you're still looking at like a Rutgers-USC three-game series in the Big Ten, right? That doesn't make any sense. Or, you know, Penn State against UCLA in baseball for a three-game series, traveling across the country, volleyball, you know, all of these unanswered questions right now, because nobody's even stopped to think about that and worry about it because it's all driven by football. There's a really good podcast. Richard Deitch caught up with Andy Staples, and they started throwing out all of these numbers. And one of the things is something we discussed last year. How many games in your league can you get an audience of X million, right? It's one of those premier matchups that if you're a Mississippi State fan, you're watching Mississippi State above all else. You're going to watch some other games, but you're going to watch the Mississippi State game, even if they're playing Samford or somebody like that. But the question is, what games attract you? Well, it's more likely to be Notre Dame against Michigan State or Alabama against, you know, pick another team, USC or something, an intriguing national matchup that has significance. So only a certain amount of those brands bring that to the table to where the television audience is like, yeah, we need those teams. So who can provide more games like that? That's where the race is, apparently, with ESPN driving the SEC. Fox is largely involved with the Big Ten. They're backing it with the dollars. So those TV deals are saying, okay, bring in North Carolina or bring in Notre Dame, or like who? Clemson is an obvious one for the SEC. They could have a lot of those games, right, if they were to join. So you have that going on, and then you also have, what is the future playoff going to look like? It's probably going to go to 12 teams, but how do you do it? Is it only the Big Ten and SEC playing for their own championship? In other words, the top four in the SEC have a little tournament. The top four in the Big Ten have a little tournament. Winner plays winner in like a college Super Bowl. And everybody else is playing for something different. All of these things have been thrown out there in the last 4 or 5 days as this went down.
Do we think there's a casualty from all of this?
But there are, yeah.
I mean, no, do you think somebody goes away? Because remember, that's why I said, we all kind of thought Big 12 was hanging on by a thread, and it obviously has not gone away. Is there, are there going to be casualty conferences because of this?
Well, I think it would be the next level down is it's just going to shake up all of the conferences. But when you say casualty, if the Pac-10, the remaining 10, and who's to say that Oregon and Washington aren't sitting there going, hey, we've got some pull.
Well, Oregon definitely is.
Yeah.
It's got to
be
the next attractive.
Is Oregon just
going to
sit there and say, yeah, we'll hang around in this league? I mean, there's a lot to shake out. But I think the Pac-12 will still be a league. It just won't be at the same level as the other two leagues. And so is that the world you're just going to live in? Or if you're Oregon or some of those schools, are you just going to fight like heck to find a way into one of the other two leagues? Mm-hmm. And I think that game is going to be played for a while. Like, how high could you go if you're the SEC? Would you take 24?
I don't know.
20?
That's a great question. Great question. We can continue.
Same thing with the Big Ten.
The discussion on the other side. I saw where Belmont has already officially, there as we moved into July, right, they've officially moved into their new conference. I see the OVC, all the shifting around they've done because they've lost members, they've added members. That's underway now that we're in July. What is the fallout? What is the shakeup? And how big can the SEC be? We'll do that to close out hour number three. On the other side, Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders will join us to begin the final hour, the significance of yesterday. We'll get into all that with him. But right now, caller six will win a pair of tickets to see Third Eye Blind at First Bank Amphitheater. That's on July 27th. First Bank Amphitheater, July 27th. Third Eye Blind, caller six, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Good luck. Thanks for listening. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour next. So apparently Max Herz is feeling pretty generous today. He decided to go on and give two pairs of tickets to Third Eye Blind.
I actually saw them last night. I was flipping around the different fireworks shows. Supposedly 300,000 people were in our downtown.
It's crazy.
Isn't that something? 300,000. That's amazing. It looked really cool on TV.
It did. I watched. It looked great. Our fireworks show was outstanding.
And so some different networks were flipping around to different venues, showing some fireworks with the skylines, and there were some bands performing. Third Eye Blind was performing somewhere.
Really?
I can't remember what city. But they did that song that we just heard. Semi-Charmed Life, you know, and they did their main songs. They sounded pretty good. I thought they did a good job. It's hard to hit the high notes in some of those songs, so you kind of need a little backup, or you need the crowd to kind of help you out with it. But I thought they sounded Very solid. So they're coming to the First Bank Amphitheater July 27th.
First Bank Amphitheater July 27th. And Joey and Bobby and Gallatin were lucky, the lucky callers. So Max decided to go on and just give two pairs away. So thanks for listening. It pays to listen. Go enjoy that show. Should be a fantastic show. I still have not been to that amphitheater. I would like to go check it out because it looks really cool. Looks really cool.
Both of our winners actually were from Gallatin. So
both were from Gallatin.
Correct. All I don't know if they know each other. They could have been sitting right next to each other.
They could have been.
Yeah, but I gave it to caller 6 and caller 7.
All right. Well, there you go.
Maybe they can carpool. It's a long drive to Thompson Station. Is that
you know what?
Is that where the amphitheater is? It's
well,
down
it's in
there.
Franklin. It's in Franklin, isn't it? Officially?
I think it's somewhere between Franklin and like Spring Hill.
Well, to your point, it's a little bit of a jaunt from Gallatin. So maybe they can, you know.
Maybe I'll start a group text with the two of them and the two of you guys.
Should they be able – they should drive in the carpool lane, right? You know?
Is that still a thing?
Oh,
is
wait a minute. Oh, wait,
I asked the question.
I'm sure that's a Friday at noon.
Are we still doing that? Are we doing it or are we not doing it? That's
it's a great Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
It is.
Going to the Dodger game.
Tom in Nashville's got a really good question for you, Villy, on the text line. He wants to know, what is your plan for America?
America.
Oh man. Gosh.
Well, we're gonna start with the hats. The July 4th hats for Major League Baseball. That's part of the plan. Get rid of those things.
I will say I love the text line because it can be funny.
Yeah,
times.
There can be some pretty good text. Barbs. Pretty good barbs.
Yep. Good stuff. So in all seriousness, how far can the SEC go? How far will they go? 16 teams set to be a juggernaut conference. It's already a juggernaut conference. Now you're talking about adding Oklahoma and Texas to the mix. Oh, by the way, two teams that went to the College World Series. Oklahoma won the women's softball national championship. We all know what they both bring in other sports, right? In football, especially Oklahoma here of late. Texas will see if this changes things, although they did just land Arch Manning. So what does that mean? How far are they willing to go?
Well,
go 18, 20,
don't you
22,
think
24?
We had a really fun conversation. It was Elijah's last day, and Chase said, get your favorite guest, whoever that might be. So he chooses Tim Brando. Tim Brando was on our show right before. You know, he's sort of laying out this Oklahoma-Texas thing. Of course, Tim Brando, he knows the SEC, but he has also done a lot of work for Fox. And he's done a lot of Big 12 games, a lot of the key Big 12 games. So he's laying all this out, and it wasn't 15 minutes later that the bombshell hit. You thought it was a bombshell when Arch Manning committed to Texas. I mean, it was a seismic reaction on Twitter when that UCLA-USC news hit, because there's been all kinds of speculation what's happening next, but that one came out of left field because any semblance of geographic boundaries went out the window. The Big Ten now has teams in all three time zones, or all four time zones, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So now, that's like, where is the boundary? There is none. So the SEC could go get Oregon if they wanted to. Who's to say? Because it's really becoming like a professional league. It's, at least in football it is. And with the travel in football being, it's one trip a week no matter what, it's so different, and then the question is, how do you figure out, you'll just figure out the other sports that don't generate nearly the revenue. It's all about the revenue generated from football. So my answer, I guess, Darren, is it just depends on how big you want your league to be, and are we just working towards a split-off? Remember we had Scott Corley on when we were talking about Belmont moving to the Missouri Valley. Belmont is not in the football picture, but the focus for Belmont is, what happens to the NCAA basketball tournament down the road? What do we see in our crystal ball here? Because there is a chance that the Big Ten and the SEC each expand to something like 20 or 24 teams, and those leagues are playing for a different title. How would you feel about that? That Division I is Division I, and then there's the rest of Division I. Like, it's we've created a new division of the haves and the have-nots, basically.
For all sports or just
football? You would have to. Now, no, I guess anything's on the table, right? Maybe it's just for football.
I think it would be just for football. I can't imagine it would be all sports.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
And this is something that Richard Deitch and Andy Staples kicked around in Richard's podcast, was if you're smart, you want to keep Cinderella in your NCAA basketball tournament. But it is complicated because who's driving the bus now? Is the NCAA even driving the college basketball bus, which they used to be able to? Or if these two leagues are going to split off from everybody else, how much power can they get to dictate even the NCAA basketball tournament?
I was reading on Twitter during the break that Phil Knight already has put together a wish list. And, of course, atop that wish list for Oregon is the Big Ten and the SEC. They're going to be the most attractive team out there, for sure, to pluck. Right?
Would you put them ahead of Notre Dame? Where does Notre Dame fit in this?
You know, Notre Dame is so interesting because, you know, they obviously
– it's a brand.
They dabbled in the ACC, right, this year. But yet we know they've always been the independent, and they get their own thing. And it just seems like the wall – they've always been so reluctant. Like, they're not going to join. Everybody has wanted them to join. They're not going to join. But it does feel like the walls are closing in on that, right? Like, it's just, like, unrealistic to think you can be an independent anymore. Like, the way this is all shaking out, like, you're going to have to sign up. And you're going to have to grab a chair when the music stops. I just can't imagine, even with the clout of being Notre Dame, that you can just sit out there and, you know, be on the island by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
With Wilson, it just doesn't make any sense anymore, especially with all the – yes, they've always said, well, we can – you know, we've done just fine with making the money with NBC on our own. Okay, that's true. But these power conferences now, there's so much – what did the SEC divvy out? Almost, what, $60 million a school? Wasn't that the latest check? Just think about that. And what do you think it's going to be with Oklahoma, Texas? I mean, it's not going to be long before the SEC is going – here's $100 million for you. Here's $100 right. million for you. That's every year.
Right. And the Big Ten has got them beat. That was Tim Brando's main theme, is that the SEC is the best at winning the championships. The Big Ten is the best
at making the money,
generating the revenue.
Yeah.
And so that is part of what's going to keep driving this, you know, this movement of teams into those two leagues, whoever can get in there. Clemson is another one, right? It's got to be one that is – it's got to be knocking on everybody's door. Now, how tied are the teams to the ACC? Because as Vince pointed out, and a lot of people have put this out there, that ACC deal is already in place. They've got the media rights that lock them in for a while. And so can they get out of it without paying ridiculous amounts of money to get out? That was another point that Tim Brando made, is that Oklahoma and Texas probably still are going to have to wait until they're eligible to leave and won't buy out early because it will just cost them too much. That's what some of these schools are going to have to decide. But they're just, I mean, it's going to be Oregon bringing their Nike money to the table. Mm-hmm. Here's our brand. Notre Dame has a brand. North Carolina and Duke maybe as a package have a pretty good brand.
Yeah, but are you saying the ACC is the one that's in trouble?
Well, the ACC has at least their teams committed through the media package for a while, but the media package is not nearly as high in terms of the dollars.
No, it's not been lucrative at all.
So you're still going to have teams like Clemson and Florida State probably sitting there going, how do we get out of this?
Yeah, but for basketball, we know North Carolina, Duke, it's huge, right? And you've got Louisville. I mean, for basketball purposes, it's a really good conference. So what do you do? Football, it's kind of fallen off, obviously. Not, I mean, still got Clemson, but Florida State, we'll see if they can get back. But they're in their dip. I don't know. It's really interesting. I just think, going back to the Notre Dame question, I just think the way this is set up now and the money that's being divvied out and how important it would be to be in a conference – I just think it's the time has come where they're going to have to join. They're going to need to pick one. Being out on the island by themselves, I don't think it's going to be more lucrative. And You do risk. And, by the way, the first time they get left out by being an independent, because, oh, by the way, what if they come up with, we're taking this automatic bid, and they get left out because of that, watch how quickly Notre Dame jumps in. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but what if it does? What if they come up with a new system of, we'll take this automatic bid, we'll take this automatic, but you've got to be in a conference. And they get left out because of it, watch how quick they jump in. And I'm not saying it's going to get to that point, but it could. We'll come back. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders to begin the final hour. That's next.